Is that going to echo like that the whole time? That's cool. So my name is Mike Morton, and this is my co-speaker.
Sean Labbery.
Sean Labbery. He says it because I always screw it up when I say it. We're going to talk about Visual Studio here today. Let's go forward. I am on some really cool, good cough medicine, so I'm a little wired. could be pretty exciting. But anyways, let's go ahead and get started. We're going to talk about developing apps for SharePoint 2013 using Visual Studio 2012. How many folks were in the last session with Jim and Saurabh? Come on, don't be shy, okay? So you're gonna see a few slides that I'm gonna whip through pretty fast, but I did wanna include them because we're gonna have some new folks that haven't seen them. But you'll see a lot of new stuff. We'll dive a little deeper into some areas. Jim and Saurabh did a great job giving you the 0 to 60. Sean and I are gonna kinda go from 60 to, what, maybe 120? Okay, so let's get started. We got a ton of content. I am a little hyped up on some cough meds, so I might talk a little fast. If so, Paul, like, wave me down, okay? All right, cool. So our agenda today, we're going to talk about the new app model. That's going to be really quick. Just a quick review. I think you guys have all seen the slides a number of times today already and yesterday. And then I'll jump in and I'll do a quick build inside of Visual Studio. So this is all going to be Visual Studio. Napa, it's awesome. But we want to show you Visual Studio, which is really awesome. The combination of the two, it kicks. Oh, that's right, I'm not supposed to swear. It does a good job. It's funny, I was told last time I got in trouble for swearing, and I can't say frickin' this year, so.
Oh. You just did.
Well, can we rewind that a couple seconds? So I'm not going to say frickin' this year because I kind of got in trouble for saying it. So then Sean's going to talk about some SharePoint artifacts. We have a whole slew of artifacts you can use in your SharePoint project. And then I'll jump back and I'll talk about cloud apps, and then we'll end with some high trust apps and a discussion around those. Along the way, please feel free to give any app laws that you have. You don't have to wait to the end. If you see something you like, let us know, because then we'll go back and we'll even make that feature better. That's what I'm talking about. Exactly. All right. So I am going to ask you once or twice during the session, when I go like this, can everyone just yell just as loud as you can? Because Mauricio, one of our partner teams, he's actually talking next door, and let's freak him out like this is the best session in the whole world. So when I go like this, everyone just hoot and holler. We'll do that here in a couple of minutes just to really mess them up. All right, so I'm going to jump into and talk about apps for SharePoint. This is going to be a pretty quick review because I think you've seen these slides a number of times. Apps for SharePoint have three main shapes. You have your full page app when your app is launched. You can have your full page, and you can basically take over that page and put whatever you want in there around HTML, JavaScript, a web app, whatever it is. The other shape, which is really cool, is called app parts. I think of app parts kind of, they're very similar to web parts in SharePoint, where your end users can place them on whatever page they want. I think of them kind of as like the tile on the Windows 7 phone, where you can kind of shine unique and really interesting information from your app onto this app part. And then your user can put that app part wherever they want. And it's really cool because you can shine that information through, but you can also provide deep links into your app. So app parts, I think you'll find, are really cool. From the developer side, we call those client web parts. And so don't be confused. They're the same thing. One's kind of the user way we think of it. Yep. One's the developer way. And then lastly, we have the UI command extensions. That's when you can extend the ribbon or the item menu, or for those of you that know the ECB, you can extend either of those. So maybe you're writing an app that uses a document library, and you want to extend that by putting a ribbon. And when they click on that ribbon button, it does some interesting piece of functionality inside of your app. So that's another great way to extend your app into the SharePoint UI. Yep. So those are our three app shapes. We'll cover all three of those today, actually.
Yeah, we'll show demos of all of them.
We will. If everything goes well. All right, hosting options. Going to cover this pretty quick. Probably seen a slide a lot like this. Down at the bottom, we have our SharePoint hosted apps. That's where you can use the SharePoint artifacts and out-of-the-box web parts. For your UI, you're going to use HTML and JavaScript. There's not going to be any server code here on the SharePoint hosted apps. You can use workflows. So if you want to do some middle-tier logic, workflows are something you can include in one of your SharePoint hosted apps. The other two apps we have are the two hosting options. We have cloud-hosted apps, and we have a provider-hosted and an auto-hosted. Probably, has anybody not heard about the provider versus auto-hosted? Okay, good. So it sounds like we've all, okay, we got one guy. Sorry, you're not going to get it. No, I'm just kidding. So the big difference is provider hosted. You go ahead and you publish out the web application. In both of those models, some, all, or most of the app is going to be actually just in a web application. In the provider hosted, you actually own the responsibility to publish out that web application, and if there's a SQL database, that also. In the auto hosted mode, it all goes into one package, hand it to SharePoint. SharePoint's going to bust that open and do all of the hosting for you and wire up the different parts. It's going to use Windows Azure, SQL Azure, and of course Office 365 to host the app portion, and it'll wire those together. We'll go over both these models today. Okay, one more slide, and then we'll actually jump right into Visual Studio. Visual Studio, it's got broad support. You can build apps. We've invested a lot of time in increasing the functionality in our tools so that you can build apps. And then you can also build solutions. So those farm and sandbox solutions that you've been building, tools supports those great also. Excuse me. Flexible environments. So you've probably heard this before. I was hoping we were the first ones that were going to tell you. You can develop against the local SharePoint server. You can go ahead and install that on your dev box if that's what you want. Crazy. But more likely, you're going to want to develop remotely against your Office 365 site. You don't have to install SharePoint. Very little install, just the tools in Visual Studio. You're not installing SharePoint. And you're working remotely against your Office 365 dev site. It really rocks. And I think this is a good time to really screw with Mauricio. So we can do remote development. Woo! Oh! Yes, awesome, guys. Very awesome. And probably the best news is our Preview 2 tools. They're available today. We announced them on Monday.
Yep.
And you can go out and get those. A couple ways to get them. Go out to dev.office.com. There's a download link, and you can download those tools. You'll see we use WebPI to do that. And the other way is you can go into Napa. Napa has a cool Open in VS button. And with that, we'll do the same thing. If you don't have the tools, we'll launch WebPI. We'll install the tools. And then we'll open up your Napa app right inside of Visual Studio. All right. With that, we will go ahead and jump to our first demo. Thank you, Sean. Oops.
There we go.
All right, so here we are in Visual Studio. Let me go ahead and open up a new instance of that. What I want to do is I just want to create a new project. I'm not going to build these amazing apps here. What I really want to focus on is I want to show you the tools, some of the things that you either haven't seen or might not see in other sessions. So I want to point out some of the next layer of things since we're going from 60 to 120. I'm going to start and just build a new Office or new SharePoint app. You'll see we have a new node under Office and SharePoint, and that's where you'll find the apps for Office as well as the apps for SharePoint. So this is a wizard that if you've created other SharePoint solutions, it looks pretty familiar. Supply the app name, supply your URL that you're going to debug against, and by the way, that needs to be a dev site. There's a few ways to get a dev site. You can go to dev.office.com and sign up for the free trial of the dev subscription. And with that, you're going to get a dev site created by default. If you already have a SharePoint 15 or a SharePoint 2013, Office 365, maybe an enterprise account, you can create a new site collection. Just choose the developer template when you do that, and boom, you get a dev site. There is one other way that you can actually get the app, kind of the side-loading feature activated. If you have a very specific site collection, maybe you're building a project server app or a search server, you might need a very specific type of site collection. You can install this feature, which will enable side-loading, and then we can side-load apps from Visual Studio and Napa onto that site collection. So there's a couple ways you can do it. Again, the easiest way is just get the dev subscription. Here's the three hosting models we talked about. We support all three. We're going to start with a SharePoint hosted app. And I'm going to point out a few things. If you're a SharePoint developer today, in fact, how many of you are current SharePoint developers doing 2010 solutions and farm solutions? Okay, that's what I expected. How many folks are using SharePoint 2013 to build solutions or apps? Okay, a lot less. And how many are actually building SharePoint apps already? Very few. Okay, a few of you. Awesome. That's great. So this is probably going to look familiar to most of you. We have a features node, a package node. We also have some folders here that are actually SharePoint module artifacts. But if you're not a SharePoint developer today, don't fret. You'll get to know and love some of this stuff. But really what you want to focus on is the pages, the scripts, and the stuff like that, the web assets that you're going to build up your app. That's what you can focus on to start with. And so that's going to be pretty familiar for you. We have the JavaScript, the HTML, and so on and so forth. One thing that is new and unique to every SharePoint app that you build is we have an app manifest. And we have a nice designer over the top of that. So I just double-click there, and you'll see that we have a designer over the XML file, and we have a number of tabs up here. Here, you can, on the general tab, you can supply the title, the icon, the version, stuff like that. A real interesting point here is this start page. This start page, remember we talked about that full page app shape, this is what's going to get launched when the user launches your app. And of course, we've wired that up by default in the template to point to the default ASPX page that we give you. So you're probably saying, whoa, ASPX, I thought you said this was HTML and JavaScript. Well, it is. This is kind of a special ASPX file. There's no code behind that you get to write. It is HTML, JavaScript, CSS, web technologies. But SharePoint still uses the master page and content page idea to give you those sections. So if you're a SharePoint developer, it's familiar. If you're not, just focus on these two chunks. This is kind of like your HTML head area for the most part. There's a few unique exceptions. And this area down here, this is your content area. Think of this as your HTML body. And if you just map those two things, you're going to be off to the races and really get going quickly. Wouldn't you agree? Yep. So let's back here to that manifest. We actually have some other areas, permissions. If you remember, when you actually deploy a SharePoint app, you're going to get an app web. That's an isolated app web where all of your SharePoint artifacts, your lists, your libraries, and these pages and stuff, those are all going to go in there. You get full control implicitly to all of that information in there. You only have to ask for permissions outside of that if you want to get maybe back to the host web. Remember, the host web is the web that your app was installed. Maybe there's an interesting document library or other information that you want to get to. If so, you just go ahead and specify a permission. If you want to get to one list, just a very unique list, you go ahead and specify this. Maybe you need write access to a calendar list. What's cool about this, I did that, didn't I? Hands off. Okay, sorry. What's cool about this? Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Good job, Paul. Sorry about that. That was like I surrender, hands up. Can you get the difference?
Yeah.
So here I'm asking for write access to a specific list. And what's cool about this is when your app's installed, the user is going to get to choose what specific list. And actually, I can say if it's just I want a calendar or a document library, I can specify a property over here and say I just want a list of type calendar. So this is pretty cool. But maybe you want access to the entire host web. In that case, you'd come down here and you'd ask for this permission. But again, if you're just using the assets inside your app web, you don't need to ask for permissions. So you can just move on. Prereqs, you can ask for certain capabilities. If your app requires some of these SharePoint capabilities, you can specify them. Your app won't be able to be installed unless that capability is on the site. You can actually specify down to the specific feature GUID if you want to. If there's a specific feature that you need activated, you can specify that GUID. Supported locales, apologize. This is pretty obvious. What locale does your app gonna support? And then for each locale, you can specify a resource file that can have your customized localized strings. By the way, if you're gonna submit an app to the marketplace, you need to make sure that you specify at least one supported locale. So that is going to be a requirement. So don't leave this blank. Put in at least whatever language, I don't know, whatever Canadian language they speak.
English is fine.
Okay, English. All right. Lastly,
it's actually one of the most common reasons that apps are getting rejected right now.
That is true. So make sure you go ahead and put one of those in. And lastly, remote endpoints. We are building an HTML JavaScript type app here. We have the cross-domain or the same domain policy. That is a restriction we can't get around. We're up in the browser. What this is going to do is if you need to get some data and you can't use, say, a JSONP technique, which does like a script injection thing, you can specify URLs here. If you need to get to data that's on HTTP colon, maybe my app or the other app.com, you can go ahead and specify that, add that to the list of endpoints. SharePoint has built this cool server-based web proxy that allows you to access these endpoints, and SharePoint on your behalf will call that endpoint, return you back the data, so you can get around this cross-domain policy. So this is a pretty cool thing here. It gives you a lot of flexibility. Woo! Thank you. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and clean that up. And so that's our app manifest. I wanted to show you in a little detail because you're going to be in here a lot, and you want to make sure that you know what capabilities we have here. We now will build our first little app. Let's just go ahead and add a new item. Here's our list of artifacts or SharePoint items. I'm going to use both words interchangeably. I'm going to cover really just the list here, and then Sean's going to do an overview here in just a minute of the other items. So let's add a list. We'll call that Quick Tasks. What you'll see is you'll see a wizard here where I can choose to create a list definition or a customizable list. I'm going to go ahead and do that. If all I wanted was a list instance where I couldn't add and remove columns, I could choose one of these list instances if I wanted to. In this case, I want to show you the list designer. So I'm going to choose tasks and click finish. Our list designer is going to go and talk to the SharePoint site. It's going to bring down some information about content types and column types and stuff like that that we can use inside of here. And so here's your list designer. You no longer have to go and grok through thousands of lines of XML, to build a list. Paul knows how tough. This works.
Yes, it does.
Great question. So here's the columns I have by default. If there's some I don't want, I can just highlight those. I can hit delete and remove the list. If there's a new list, or maybe there's a column that I want, like I want to get some address. You'll see as we type here, we filter that down. These are all of the columns that are available to me already. I can choose those, and I can even create new columns. Like maybe I want a stack rank column, and I want that to be a number. There's lots of types that we support. You can choose any one of these types. And over in the properties grid over here, for each type, we have even more advanced properties that you can set. So take a look at that. It's really cool. Saves you a lot of time grokking through a lot of XML. So we have our list now. All right. Yep. Thank you. Thank you very much. We did spend a lot of time here, and we hope it saves you guys a lot of time. That was definitely our intent. We have our list now. Let's just go ahead and get ready to run our app. But as it is, all I have is this little chunk of HTML that's going to take that initializing, and I have some JavaScript that's hot-wired up by default that's going to turn it into basically like, hello, Mike Morton, or it's going to go get the name from SharePoint. And that's just so that we've given you a sample of how to use the JavaScript API. Let's add down here, I'm going to show you two ways that you could visualize the list information. First one is using one of the built-in SharePoint web parts. So I'm going to insert a snippet, and you'll actually say, we have a couple SharePoint snippets here. Sean plans to own to add a bunch more in the future.
Thank you, Mike.
You bet. Just thought I'd throw them under the bus. So here we have a couple. The real cool one I want to show you here is the list view web part. I'm not going to call it by its official name. I know Paul would like that. The XSLT list view web part. It's like, that's such a cool name, right? Not. So here we have our web part control. And you'll see that I just need to fill in the list URL. If I pop back to my list designer, I can actually grab that off of the list tab. And since I'm not a great typer, I'll do a control C, control V, and now we're ready to go. So I could press F5 here, and that would give me a web part in my default page that would visualize the list. Well, as it is, it's going to kind of give me a kind of a read-only. I'm not going to have any cool UI wired up or anything. So if I want to wire up to have the nice built-in UI, I actually need a little snippet. And so if you got a camera, you might want to take a picture of this because you're going to want to wrap most of your web parts with this little snippet here. And actually, Sean's told me that we're going to get to probably do this better in the future.
Oh, definitely fix it.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and press F5. I am going to run a couple minutes over, but I'll try to shave off on my next demo. Sean's up here giving me gang signs of how many minutes I have left. So I've pressed F5. We're going to install this app. So this is going to package it up into that new app packaging that you've probably heard about. Once it packages it up, it's going to upload it to SharePoint. The app's going to be installed. And what we're doing here is we're actually waiting for that app to install. We're polling SharePoint at this point using an API so that when that app is installed, we can actually launch the app directly, and you'll see the full page experience that we have. If all goes good, we will see Hello Mike Morton, and then we'll see our web part right below it. There we go. Very cool. Very easy. I thought it was easy. Hopefully you all agree. I have the built-in UI now where I can add a new item. I can go ahead and add maybe a send status. Click save. And now you'll see that that's added. I also get integration with the ribbon here. So by just adding that stuff to that web part, I have the ribbon integration and everything right inside my page. So that's pretty cool. I want to show you one super cool thing. And if you think this is cool, let's do the big, don't do it yet, but let's do the big noise one more time. because this is going to save you a ton of time. I didn't stop my app. My app's still running. It's still deployed. I'm going to highlight this web part page. I kind of changed my mind. Don't want to use that. Instead, I want to use this other really cool control called the H1 control. And just say, hello, SBC 2012. What's cool, though, here's what's amazing. It's going to save you a ton of time. I'm going to click the save button. I'm looking at both these monitors. Can't find my mouse. I'm going to click save here in Visual Studio. And then I'm just going to alt tab back. I'm going to minimize that. I'm just going to refresh this page. Didn't have to redeploy the app. All I did have to do is refresh, and bam.
Yeah!
But really, you're going to update your JavaScript, your HTML, your CSS all the time. All you got to do is save it, Alt-Tab, refresh, bam, and you're in business. If you're going to add a list or something or change the manifest, that's going to require redeployment. But for the most part, this is what you're going to change when you're building your app out. So I know I'm a couple minutes over, Sean. Let me just show them. Here's what that alternate app could look like. Let me just go here. I was going to show you the code also. If you want to see that code, that is not the app I wanted. Let me go back right. There we go. Let me launch this other app. We changed our resolution at the last minute. Here's quick tasks that I've built out. The same list. That's all right. Don't worry. No fret. Don't stress. Don't stress. We'll just shut this down here. This is what you get for prepping ahead, right? Let's do this. Let's go back to my dev site. Whoa, that's a cool image. And let's try to launch that one more time. Where did my quick task go? It's gone. But luckily, I have a backup. So what this is doing is this is using a different little visualization. I'm using jQuery, jQuery UI. And I'm actually using the knockout library, which gives me kind of an MVVM architecture to my app. And so I can do a send status. So this is just another way that you could make that look. So rather than use the built-in SharePoint UI, I can use something that's a little more modern, take advantage of JavaScript libraries. I need to pick up my Jeep when I get back, things like that, and something else because I'm running late. And then because it is jQuery UI, I can do cool things like this and drag things around and so on and so forth. So just another alternative of you can make this app look however you want. Thanks.
Well, thanks for building that app. Right. I'm going to take it from there.
Take it from there. I'll turn that back over to Sean. Flip you back over to the slides.
So as Mike has talked a little bit about, there's a lot of new app artifacts for SharePoint. And so as most of you are familiar with SharePoint, there's actually a lot of XML involved and a lot of special packaging requirements. And for Visual Studio, our goal is actually to provide you with a guided experience. And Mike kind of showed you some of the guided experience that we have around the App Manifest Designer, where it allows you to really manage all the different properties. And he also talked about the List Designer. And this actually supports modifying content types as well. So now I want to go in and cover some of the other app artifacts that we support creating with Visual Studio, and then I'll demo a few of them in action. So I think the app artifact that's seen the most significant transformation from SharePoint 2010 to 2013 is that of workflows. Now that SharePoint 2013 depends on .NET Framework 4.5, we actually have modern .NET 4.5 workflows with VB and C# expressions in them. And with this new workflow engine, we actually decided to invest in creating a new end-to-end tooling experience. And so when you actually go and create workflows, you actually will get a rich wizard that goes and allows you to create site and list workflows. But the real heart of the experience and the improvements that you'll see are actually in the designer itself. We've actually gone through every item in the toolbox, whether it be for workflow or for SharePoint activities, and just picked those ones that are necessary for you to do development and organize them in a way to make it easier for you to go and find. There's a whole slew of new activities for SharePoint workflow development, and what we've gone through each of them and made sure that they're actually connected live up to SharePoint. So rather than you having to go through your projects like Mike was doing for the list designer, trying to find what the URL is or what a magic GUID is somewhere else in some documentation, What our activities do is they actually go and connect live to SharePoint and pull that data down. And so you can see in the screenshot here, like there's these little drop downs that you can just pick from. And so we have these pickers all over, so you have a really guided and rich experience. Initiating workflows is done via this new concept called initiation forms that is now done in JavaScript. We also have templates for that. And another surprisingly powerful thing that that we've introduced is this idea of rich interactive debugging of the workflows, whether you're running on the local machine or whether you're running against a remote SharePoint. We actually bring the workflows to your local machine and run them in a test environment so you can hit breakpoints and inspect the properties on these declarative workflows. So a lot of great support there. Visual Studio also allows you to embed Office apps or apps for Office in an app for SharePoint. That's a little bit of a mouthful. But basically, there's a really interesting scenario where you want to deploy a Office app as part of your SharePoint app. And so what Visual Studio does is it allows you to create a document template that includes that app for Office. Then we allow you to deploy a document library that contains that as the default content type. And then we put all that packaged up inside of a SharePoint app. And so you can create this true end-to-end scenario through guided steps that Visual Studio provides. We have more artifacts. We have like tons of things that you can actually do with our tools. It's actually kind of surprising like that we're up to the level that we had with SharePoint 2010, and this new platform is just coming out. We have great support for business connectivity services and apps. So there's this new thing called AppScope BCS, which allows you to actually take any OData service and expose it in your app as an external content type. We provide you with a wizard, where pretty much the only thing that you have to put into it is a URL and a name. And we're trying to figure out a way to have you not even put a name in there. So once you have that input in the wizard, we'll go and pull the entities out of that OData feed, and it'll provide you with a wizard that allows you to choose which ones you want surfaced. And then you can use something that looks like the list designer to choose how the external content types can be displayed in your app. Yeah. So Mike touched a little bit earlier about the whole app shapes that we have. And one of the key app shapes was the app part. And that really corresponds to this term of the client web part. From an end user experience perspective, these are really very similar to what you had in SharePoint 2010. While you're editing a site page, you can go and choose to insert them and have them be persisted in that site page. But from the developer perspective, we've actually made a lot of changes to take advantage of the new app model. And so the client web part consists of two points. One is an XML file that advertises the client web part to SharePoint. And the other part is actually surfaced up as a web page that you can author yourself. And it was hosted up in the iframe in SharePoint. With Visual Studio, we provide you a guided wizard experience that I'm going to demonstrate for you in a minute to get up and running with these really quickly. But before I go to a demo of this, I also want to introduce the concept of UI custom actions. As Mike was touching on, the other app shapes were around commands. And so we also provide a wizard experience for generating either the menu items or the ribbon UI within Visual Studio. And so rather than keep showing slides, let's actually show the live demo.
Switching you over, boss.
So now I'm going to take Mike's QuickTask application onto my machine. And I'm going to go and add a client web.
Do we just like touch machines to do that, or what do we do?
I might have stolen it before the show.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, what I want to do is take, you know, as Mike's boss, I always want to improve his apps. And so what I'm...
I got to go! Really?
Okay. So what I want to do is I want to add a capability so that in the client web part, I can actually see the number of tasks that Mike has remaining. And so what I'm going to do is go into the Visual Studio UI and just go add new item. And as Mike has kind of shown you, this is your entry point for most of the SharePoint artifacts. And so I'm going to pick a client web part, and I'm just going to call it quick task part. And in the wizard, it asks me the most basic question, which is, do I want to use an existing web page, or do I want to have one created for me? And so I'm going to choose to have it create one for me. And you'll see that it opens up two files for me. One is the XML file that advertises the client web part to SharePoint. And there's a few properties that I'll probably want to tweak before I go and deploy it. So I'm going to change the title to Quick Task
and I'll give it a description. Let's see, Mike's tasks. And then I'll give it a default height of 50 just so that it doesn't take up so much screen real estate.
I don't really have that much to do.
Oops.
Love it. Love it.
It's great having live help. All right, so now I'm going to go and add a script file.
That's pair programming times 200.
Oops.
I could type this for you if you
want. Yeah, thank you. Now, let's see, I'm going to add the quick JavaScript file that's going to contain just the key code and the key logic that will actually go up to SharePoint and grab like the set of lists that that contains the tasks, mm-hmm. and then it's just going to enumerate through that list and show you the full count and replace it in a div tag. So now I'm going to save this script, and now I'm going to do what go and make this client web part just like the pages that we started with. And so I'm going to add some JavaScript here, and you'll see that I've put in AJAX, I've put in some jQuery, I've used the knockout libraries, and I'm even using some of the SharePoint libraries as well, and connecting up to the QuickTask. So I'm just going to let that finish resolving our IntelliSense. It takes a second to cache it the first time that I put it in the file. There we go. And then the other part that I'm going to go and do is I'm going to go add the div tag that actually goes and displays the tasks remaining. And so put some placeholder text while it's working. Now, that's how you create a client web part. So now I'm just going to go and run.
One thing I want to point out, I was watching you. You're doing this all left-handed. I mean, is that just because right hand is too easy?
I am left-handed.
Oh, you're left-handed. Okay. Sorry. I was like, three left-handed people out there love it. Cool.
But I think it was really cool that I was actually able to deploy the client web part with one hand.
With one hand. That's great.
That's great. All right. So now I'm going to go back to my team site, and now I want to go and add that client web part so I can keep track of Mike's tasks. And so I'm going to go edit, and then I go to the insert menu, and I see that there's app parts and web parts. Now, traditional client web parts will show up on the right, but then for new ones, because they're part of apps and you want users to be aware of that, we put them in the app part menu. And so now I choose QuickTask, and I can see that the description that I wanted showed up, and then I'll click add. And even while I'm in the editing mode, the client web part actually is running in the iframe, and it's actually going and querying for the number of tasks that Mike has remaining. Actually, you have no more work. I guess you're done.
I'm done.
And so that was a quick demo of client web parts.
So that was that example of shining through interesting information from your app into that app part. And Sean could have provided a launch point right into the app, maybe to add a new task or to close out a task. So it's really, really cool concept.
All right. So now I'm going to go into a demo of a UI custom action. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go into the same spot, new item dialog, and choose a menu item custom action. And I'm going to give it a name. So for this demo, what I really want to do is I want to be able to take documents from my document library and flag them as tasks for follow-up. And so the first question that the wizard asked me is, do I want the custom action to apply to items in the host web or the app web? And the way I think about this is, are they in my SharePoint site, or are the items in my app? And seeing as these documents are in my SharePoint site, I'm going to choose the larger one, which is the host web. I can scope these to individual list instances, but for this case, I want all the documents, so I'm just going to choose list template. And then we give you a choice of the templates that you want this to apply to. I'm going to choose document library, click next, and then I'm going to give the menu command some text, and I'm going to have it go and launch the default page for my app. So there, I have generated a UI custom action. So I'm going to do a few things. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to modify the URL of my custom action so that it sends some more properties about the item that the user clicked on. So I'll see item ID and item URL, and then I can use my JavaScript to actually go and resolve that to that particular item. Now I'm going to go modify Mike's code. Hopefully it's easily readable. Let's see. And I'm going to go and say, after that we've got the list of items from SharePoint, that's a great time for me to go and add the list or add the task that I was just got called in from. And so then I'll write some code at the end of the file, And what it's going to do is it's going to parse the header, parse the query string for the invocation and get that list ID and get the item URL from it. And then using the JSON, call in and add that task. So now, assuming that I've got all my typos fixed, I'm going to go and deploy that to SharePoint.
Typos? You drug that over.
Yes.
Typos and snippets.
And then we get to see all the tasks that you or all the documents that I have that I need to go and review, and we can see which ones we want to follow up on.
I'm a little worried about what this demo is going to show.
So now it's been deployed to SharePoint. And so now I'm going to go back to the team site, and then I'm going to go to my document library. And so I have some interesting documents that I want to go and review. Let's see, Mike's annual review, his background check, and his expense report. Yeah, it's kind of funny. The background check just came in yesterday. You're okay. Don't worry about it.
I passed.
So now,
luckily, they only go back 7 years.
So now I'm just going to go and show off the UI custom action. It appears right on the menu, and I left it down at the bottom, so here's add task. And what that's going to do is call into that default ASPX, and then it's going to show that task for follow-up. Woo. So that's the menu item custom action.
That's really cool. That's
all right, so now I'm going to switch back to Mike, who's going to talk about cloud apps.
Awesome. I'm going to go ahead and switch back to our, there we go, and we'll click through that. Where's my clicker? There we go. All right, that was great, Sean. Boop. And there we go. Okay, cloud apps. Cloud apps, as just a kind of a reminder, they're the apps where you're really just building a web application. And you can either provide or host that, take care of it yourself, or you can do the auto hosting and have SharePoint help you to host that up in Windows Azure. So, excuse me, I apologize. There's a few ways that you can get a web application into your SharePoint app. Probably the easiest way, and I think you've seen us do that already, is just, and I'll do it again in a minute, is just say file new app, and then choose the auto-hosted or the provider-hosted model. We'll include a web application along with your SharePoint app project. Another way might be, maybe you're building out a SharePoint-hosted app, but then you realize, hey, I'd really like to take advantage of a remote event receiver or an app event. By the way, app events are kind of new. They're like lifecycle events when your app is installed or upgraded or uninstalled. You can write server code for that. So if you want to take advantage of one of those types of events, when you do that in our tools, we'll actually add a web application for you so that you can write that server code there. And then the last way is you can take any web project that you have, anything that Visual Studio, the ASP.NET stack kind of handles, and you can turn that into, and you can appetize it is what we call. And basically, we'll take your app project that you already have created, and we'll add some stuff into it, some references, we'll add a SharePoint app project to it, and then you can be off and going building a SharePoint app with your web application that you've already built out. So those are kind of the three ways you can do that. I'll show you a couple of those. So now you might be thinking, okay, I have a web application and I have a SharePoint app. And then they're going to need to communicate. Your web app is probably going to want to be able to go and use some services over in SharePoint, maybe the user profile or maybe the social service, or maybe there's some list data or document libraries that you want to use. So the way you're going to do that is you're going to use OAuth. And I'm going to cover OAuth really lightly here in one slide. Rob Howard has a session, I think it's later today, this afternoon. He's going to go into OAuth in depth. If you're going to write cloud apps, I would suggest that's a great session to either go to or watch the recording. So OAuth, SharePoint, and the web application, they're both going to trust kind of a third party. In this case, that's ACS. That trust is developed at a high level. Don't get too technical on me here, but with the use of a client ID and client secret. And SharePoint and ACS know the client ID. And then your web application has a client secret, and just you and ACS have that. And what that allows is kind of for this flow of tokens. Again, this is a real high level, not technically accurate, but the general concept is when SharePoint's going to launch your app, it's going to talk to ACS, it's going to exchange the client ID, and what it's going to get is a context token back. SharePoint's going to pass that context token over to your application on the lower right here. You're going to take that context token, and you're going to, along with your client secret, validate that that's a valid context token that was passed to you by a valid place like SharePoint. And then what's going to come back from ACS if everything's good is you're going to get what's called an access token. And that access token is what you're going to use to then communicate with SharePoint. And that's kind of what they call the three-legged ACS trust model. Again, Rob will go into excruciating but very interesting details in his talk. I listen to that talk every time because I learn something new every time. And with that, I'm just going to jump in and demo. This is definitely more demo the tools. I'm not going to build an app here, so I don't want you to get excited. But what I want to show is I want to show you some of the tooling and some of the code that does some of this magic around the OAuth and a few other parts. Thank you, Sean, for swapping me over there. All right, so what I'm going to do, we talked about how I can add a web application to my SharePoint app. Let's go ahead and create a SharePoint application here again. This time I'll go ahead and leave it as auto-hosted. Actually, what was my time in there? Okay. So with an auto-hosted app, I'm going to get a web application like I talked about, as well as a SharePoint app. Here you can see the SharePoint app at the top. You'll notice it really just has an app manifest. It does have an app icon, which is going to represent your app. That's the icon when you install your app that the users will see. So you'll want to set that to something cool. We actually purposefully made it ugly so you'd be forced to change it.
It's true.
So then I have my app manifest with the designer that we talked about. And that's all we have by default in there. Now, you can add lists and other stuff to the SharePoint portion. It doesn't have to just be the manifest. But if all of your logic's over in your web app and you don't need any lists or libraries, you don't have to add anything to that. Because what you have here is you basically have a web application that we've set up for you, and it's a standard ASP.NET web app. We've included, yet again, a default ASPX, and we have a scripts library. We set it up very similar to the way we set up a SharePoint hosted. some differences, though, that you'll see is if we go behind the scenes and we look at the code that we generated, behind the default ASPX file, we've actually included enough code to get you started. Sorry, the resolution here. Let me actually dim that down one. You'll see that we have code here that's going to do, in about three lines, it's going to take care of all that ACS token passing stuff. And the way we're going to do that with such few lines is we're going to use something called Token Helper. Token Helper is a class that we've provided to you, and you'll see that we've actually included it in the file by default. And it's actually the source itself. It's not a library, it's actually the source. So you can grok through that and see exactly what's going on. Awesome, love that. Someone loves having the code. Excellent. Is that because in case I put a bug in that code, you can fix it, right? That's what you're thinking. I know. Bugs in the code usually come from someone else, though. What Token Helper is going to do is it's going to grab that context token, and we could go look at this code, and we could see what it does. And you can see that it's going to go look through the request object and do this and that and the other thing. And feel free to go peek at that whenever you want. It's going to grab a query string called the host URL. this is actually passed by default. You'll see this little standard tokens thing. When you go to the start page, you'll see that you can pass query strings. We put in this thing called standard tokens right here. I'll just show you. Right here in the way that magic worked. I don't want there to be magic, so I want you to know. Right here, we're passing the standard tokens, and that's going to actually, at runtime, turn into three or four different query strings, one of which is going to be the host URL. Another one's going to be the language, and that's going to allow your app to react as it needs to. And in this case, we're going to use that token or that query string that's passed in. We're then going to use another token helper method here, and what's going to come out of that is a client context. For those of you that have written SharePoint object model code, you're probably familiar with the client context. So once you've used those three lines of code, you now have a client context. Now you can code against the SharePoint object model however you want. So we really plumbed a lot of that complexity out. You can see it. You could change it if you want, but be careful. But just with three lines of code, you can get started talking to SharePoint from your web application. All right. Let me actually close this project, our solution. Sure, we'll save that. And we'll create a new application. I want to come at this one other way. I want to create a web application. I'm going to go ahead and choose MVC4. It's kind of the new rage. Hopefully, okay. Yep, it works there.
A little bit of a screen resolution issue there.
A little bit of a screen resolution. Thank you. It's his fault over there. He made me change that resolution. So what we have here is a standard MVC application. This could have been MVC 3 or 4 or ASP.NET. And for some of you, you probably saw Jim do this in the last session. I'm going to do it again. Probably going to say a few more words than Jim did because I'm kind of a yappy kind of guy. But what you can do is on top of any web application that you just created or you already have, you can appify this just by going down here and saying add app for SharePoint. When you do that, we're going to add a SharePoint app project to this solution along with your web project. And so we're going to need to know when you hit F5, where are you going to deploy this app project? And so we're going to go ahead and specify that same dev site and just click Finish. And what we'll do is we'll add that project along with, we're going to add Token Helper. We're going to add some references. So here you'll see, here's that web project we already had, and here's that same manifest and icon. So two different ways to come about the same thing, depending on if you're starting with your web project or if you're starting with a brand new SharePoint app. So just wanted to show you both ways to get there. And both do pretty much the same thing. You'll see we have references here to the identity model, which is some of the ACS stuff, and to the SharePoint client libraries that you can write your object model code against SharePoint. We also have Token Helper that we've injected in there, and we've done some other things. We've gone into your web config, and we've added a couple things like client ID and client secret. Now, when you hit F5, you don't need to worry about getting a client ID and client secret. The tools take care of that for you. If you're building a SharePoint hosted or a auto hosted, you're never going to have to worry about getting a client ID and secret. The only time you need to get a client ID and secret is when you go to publish a provider hosted app. And we'll do that at the very end if I don't run out of time. If I do run out of time, Sean and I will be at the booth. Yep. I'm just going to pre-prep that. What time are we going to be there? 2 to 4:30? I think that's about right. So come by and we can go into any details that you want to there. So something pretty cool I want to show you here is we've wired up, when we appetized, what we did is we wired up the MVC application with the SharePoint app. And the way you can actually see that the easiest is if you come down here, where is that property I'm looking for? There we go. You'll see we have this project property called web project. This is what tells the SharePoint app project which web project is related, so that when you press F5, we're going to know which web project. We're actually going to spin that up in IIS Express locally, so you can do local debugging. And if you had a database project, you can relate it with that property, and we'll spin that database project up in local DB, so that's all running local. We'll take the SharePoint app and we'll deploy that up to Office 365, wherever it is, in the clouds. And so that's how you get a great debugging experiences for your pages and your JavaScript while still being able to develop against the dev site. I think that's pretty cool. Don't you guys think that's pretty cool? Yeah. Kind of weak compared to the first one, so I get it. You're getting tired. That's cool. That's all right. I don't think anyone else is showing this, so I think it's important that I show you how to do it. So often your web application is going to need to have a SQL database. You might not want to store it in a list or a library. You might want your own SQL database, especially in the provider hosted model. So the easiest way to do that is just to add a new project to your solution. And here we'll go down and we'll have to scroll, not used to that. We'll go down and we'll grab other languages, not Visual Basic, SQL Server. We'll add a SQL Server database project. And we'll go ahead and then just show you. So now I have a SQL Server database project along with my web project and my SharePoint app. And I can easily come in here, and I can say add a new table. I mean, what's a database project without a table, right? We'll choose a customer table, and then I'll just, I mean, I'm not going to demo the SQL Server project, but maybe name and so on and so forth. So I can build out my database tables. And the beauty of that is after I've done that, all I have to do is come down here, and you probably guessed it, right, is drop this down, and now that shows up. I just go ahead and select the database project, and now I've wired those up with my app. I'm actually prompted here because this is an auto-hosted app. When we actually deploy this into real Azure, not on F5, but on like publish and you install it, this database is going to end up in SQL Azure. So we need to make sure that we set the target platform to SQL Azure appropriately. So that's all that prompt is telling you. You want to click yes or it's not going to work so well. And at that point, we've wired that up. So when you press F5, all that magic's going to happen. And when you publish an auto-hosted app, we're going to do a whole bunch of magic for you also. One thing I want to point out, excuse me, it's at this time where you're probably going to want to go into your web application and add some code to access that database. When you do that, don't just go figure out the connection string yourself. Because what we're going to do at F5 is we're going to put a well-known property in your web config that represents your database connection. SharePoint, when you deploy a auto-hosted app, they're going to do a very similar thing at runtime. When they actually provision that SQL Azure database, they're going to go update your web config, and they're going to put a special well-known property in there. So SharePoint's given us a nice little helper to get that connection string, actually get the connection if you want to, and it will hand you back an open connection. So you definitely want to use that helper method, which I'll show you in 1 second here. The other reason you'll want to use that is for disaster recovery. That SQL Azure database, when it's actually running in the cloud, it's going to have disaster recovery or DR hooked up to it. And so you'll always get the active connection. You don't have to worry about figuring out which one's active if there's a failover or something like that. So let me actually just switch over. I have an app that is very similar. It's got the database here. It's got a web property or a web project, and then it has the SharePoint app project. I'm just going to hit F5 because I want to show you kind of what happens around the ACS stuff as well as how to get at that database connection. So we're deploying this, and again, it's auto-hosted. So we're using IIS Express on my local machine for the web. We're using LocalDB for the database, and my app is up in Office 365 in my dev site. So it's a pretty cool split of responsibilities there, but that gives you the best debugging experience.
Yep. Okay.
So here's my cool app. I've uploaded, this is an app that actually some team members of ours in a little app building contest or event a couple weeks ago built. And they built auction site. And they created an auction site, so we call it swap meet. You can see here that I can go into the seller dashboard, and I can upload items. And I have a couple things I've uploaded, and I can browse by category. And this is a pretty cool app. We actually want to clean it up and make it kind of more fun, and maybe actually even put it on the store so that companies could have a little internal swap meet app. We just thought it would be kind of fun. So this is the start. This came out in like just 2 or 3 days of work. And it's like, who doesn't want a gingerbread house, right? I mean, a gingerbread house.
Especially one that looks like the Space Needle.
The Seattle Space Needle. If you haven't seen the Seattle Space Needle, it looks just like this. There's candy all over it. It's freaking awesome. Oh, I said it, didn't I? That's all right. Anyways, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to flip back to SharePoint, or I'm sorry, to Visual Studio. And I'm going to go to the default page. I'm just going to set a breakpoint. Because I want to show you, when I go to the home page, because we're running on IIS Express, bam, we get our server-side breakpoint, which is pretty darn cool. I can walk through here. If I really wanted to, I could walk into Token Helper and see what's going on, because we give you the code, don't we? here we're going to get the client context and so on and so forth. And actually, if we look right here, this is where we're actually going to communicate with SharePoint. If I was to go into this method, you'd see that we're going to go ahead and we have the client context now because we already did the magic. In fact, I didn't point out, but those two lines up here, those look pretty familiar, right? I mean, in this app, they've done some refactoring, so it doesn't look just like the default ASPX file, but those are the two same lines of code where you get the query string and you get the context object, and then once they get into here, they already have their client context. And now they can just talk to SharePoint using the standard object model that many of you have already used. And with this, we'll get some great information. All right, so if I go back here, I want to show you one other thing. Actually, let's go to this breakpoint. And you'll actually see that we've pulled the email address from SharePoint as well as the username. So that's coming from SharePoint with that OAuth that we just talked to. Last thing I want to show you here is we're going to get that database connection. So, of course, because these guys are on our team, they use the appropriate method. And so you'll see that they are using right here. This is that method I talked about. You do app instance, try get app database connection direct. I didn't make that up. That was SharePoint. They like long names, but that's cool. That's best practices. So when you use this magic method or this helper method, it's going to get that active connection string and actually open up a connection for you. So this is the way you want to do it, to take care of the debug versus runtime as well as the disaster recovery. And if we go in and actually, let's go into that method, or let's come back out of that method. Here's a little safety tip. If you're using Entity Frameworks, which this application is, this web application is using Entity Frameworks over the top of its database. When you go to create an Entity Frameworks object graph, it's going to expect a connection that's closed. And so this is a little safety tip. If you're using Entity Frameworks, put a couple lines of code in here like this, where you actually check if the connection is not closed, go ahead and close it, so that when I return and pass that to Entity Frameworks here, that connection will be closed because Entity Frameworks likes to control that connection. So just a little FYI. And we go boom like that, and now we get our items. Okay, so did you give me 2 minutes there?
Yep.
Great. So I have no minutes to show publishing, but I do think I need to show it real quick. So I'm going to show you publish here and go quicker on my slides. So here, let's go publish this app. I've done all my testing. It's time for me to publish an app package so that I can deploy it. So what I do is I come down here, and I'm on the wrong one. I go to the SharePoint project. Thank you, Sean. And I click publish on the SharePoint app project, and I get a publish wizard. What's cool about this is all I got to do is click finish. There's nothing to do. If it's SharePoint hosted or if it's auto hosted, I'm done. It's all going to get put into one package. In fact, we're going to open up the location where that package goes. Here's that app package I've talked about. And if I actually do turn that to a .zip, you'll actually see inside of that app package are all those pieces I've been talking about. Here's my app manifest. Here's that icon we talked about. Here's that DAC pack, or that SQL database. SQL database is packaged up into what's called a .DAC pack, D-A-C-P-A-C. And that's exactly what that is. That's been put into that app package. And here's my web application. It's in a packaging format called WebDeploy. All of that's been jammed into the .app package. I hand that off to SharePoint, put it up on the store. When my app is installed, SharePoint does the magic of busting that out. So that's really cool. Last thing really quick is if this were a provider-hosted app, and we can fake that out, not fake it out, but we can change that by going here. And right now it's set to auto-provisioned. If I go here and choose this, that's going to make it look like a provider-hosted app. And just to make the XSD happy, I need to do that. So now I have a provider-hosted app. When I publish that, it's going to look a little different. Here I'm going to need to provide some hosting information. So I also get to specify a profile. Maybe I have multiple profiles. Maybe this is my test published profile versus maybe my final store published profile. What I need to specify is provider hosted. I'm responsible for publishing and creating my web application somewhere out in the world. Maybe I put that at www.myapp.com. I spelled that wrong, but it doesn't matter. I'm then going to go to the seller hub, or the seller dashboard, I'm sorry. And we actually have a link to it right here. You're going to sign up for the seller dashboard one time, but if you're building provider-hosted apps, you're going to want to do that for sure, because you need to go there to get a client ID and secret. You'll go there, you'll sign up, you'll supply the name of your app and some other information. They're going to come back with a client secret and a client ID, and then you're going to go next, finish, and we're going to publish the stuff out. This case, you're going to get multiple files. You're going to get the .app package, as well as you're going to get the web deploy package that's separate that you're going to need to take to your admin and have them actually provision it. So that's publishing in a really quick time. I'm going to flip back. I have some slides. I'm not going to be able to go through them in too much detail because I don't want to jack Sean.
Give yourself a minute or two.
You sure?
Yep.
All right, so real quick, debug. I think I've talked through this. We do a lot of good stuff for you. I don't want to call it magic. because I think I've explained it to you, but we do a lot of good stuff that's going to make your life really easy. You hit F5, we go get the client ID and secret for you. We fire up IS Express and LocalDB. We'll fire up a workflow service so you can debug your workflows if you have a workflow. So we do a lot of great stuff. This is what you want to use to debug your app. Don't do right-click deploy. Don't do right-click publish. Hit F5. That's your best bet. So then you get to a point where, that's the wrong screen, you get to a point where you want to deploy your app. This is something you should do, I would suggest, within Visual Studio, is do on the project, do right-click deploy, and this works for SharePoint hosted and auto hosted. Provider hosted, you're kind of on your own a little bit. You have to deploy that database, or the database and the web project. But for the other two types, right-click deploy, everything's going to get packaged and installed, and everything's going to be running up in the cloud. You're going to be using SQL Azure, you're going to be using Windows Azure, Office 365, just like your app's going to run when it's truly installed by an end user in production. One of the things about this is there's no firewall then, because everything's running up in the cloud. Well, you're not going to get breakpoints, but that's kind of expected. But your remote event receivers are going to be able to fire without any issues. No firewall gets in the way. So that's a pretty cool thing. That's when you want to use deploy, is to run your app really in Azure. And lastly, publish. I just covered this, so I'm actually going to whiz through this, but here's a good screen that shows you the differences about what goes on and what package goes where. And then lastly, safety tip. We open up a dialog into the app.publish folder. Make sure that's the packages that you use. Don't go into your bin debug folder. There will be some packages in there, but those are going to have some debug time things that have been injected. So a little red safety tip here. Lastly, I'm just going to show you this. It's kind of cool. It kind of shows you the different parts of that .app package. Those are for auto-hosted only, of course. And it's all going to show, also going to show you where those are deployed, not at F5. This is showing you when SharePoint actually deploys your package, this is where all the parts are going to go. So this, again, is just kind of a reference slide. So I don't jack Sean. I'm not going to go through it in detail. But hopefully that covers the cloud apps. Again, I'll be at the booth from 2 to 4:30. Stop on by and talk to Sean and I.
We both will be there.
We both will be there. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Sean.
Actually, I'm going to keep doing
slides. On. That's right. You have some slides. All right. Great.
So far, Mike and I have been talking about developing for Office 365 and making use of cloud resources such as Azure. I think that, you know, from a design focus perspective, this is where we expect users, as both developers and end users, to have the best experience working against a live, always up-to-date service. However, there are some situations where, you know, for security reasons or perhaps you're at a conference with lack of connectivity, you'd actually have to work within the firewall and you can't take that dependency on cloud resources. And so for that, the SharePoint team has created this concept called high trust apps. High trust apps are very much like the regular SharePoint apps in that they use OAuth for secure communication. The key difference, though, is that rather than using ACS as the intermediary, as Mike was explaining, these high trust apps actually establish a direct relationship for communicating between SharePoint and the web server. And that relationship is established through the use of certificates. And so when your IT admin sets up your SharePoint site, he's actually going to set it up so that it trusts tokens that are signed with a certain certificate. And when you set up the web application, it's going to have the private key so that it can go and sign those tokens with that certificate. Now, for developing, that means that you're going to actually have to run some PowerShell scripts on your local machine as well as on the remote SharePoint. And that's going to provide you with, you're going to actually get a certificate, and then it's going to provide you with an issuer ID that corresponds to that relationship. And we'll go into a demo of that in just a minute. Now, this model actually looks somewhat simpler than the cloud model that Mike was demonstrating, but actually it does have some caveats. First of all, the certificate management is actually more complex. Every time you set up a new SharePoint server or a web application, you're going to need to go and do that configuration. As well, these apps are only meant for internal and enterprise use. They're not going to be able to be purchased on the Office store. So before I go into a demo of high trust apps, I wanted to introduce another set of concepts or app artifacts that will make good use of this in the demo. So remote event receivers and app events are basically allowing you to write server code to handle events happening on SharePoint. Those app events are around the app lifecycle. So for example, upgrade, install, or uninstall. And remote event receivers really are centered around changes in the data on SharePoint. So for example, if a list or an item gets updated or deleted. From a developer perspective, you can implement these remote event receivers as simple SOAP endpoints. And our wizards actually go and generate the stub code for you to go and do that. And at runtime, this works really well because the web server and SharePoint have good connectivity to each other, either if they're hosted on-prem behind the firewall or if they're deployed to SharePoint and hosted in Azure. The problem comes in, as Mike was alluding to earlier, was when you're developing against Office 365 and the event happens in Office 365, it's going to try and come back to your local developer box. And so remote development in that case is a little bit more difficult. The good news is that we've been partnering with the Windows Azure Service Bus team to work on a white paper that actually shows you how to use Service Bus to open that hole in the firewall and to actually have the event receivers come through the firewall to your local dev box. And we'll be publishing that hopefully next week.
And when we do that, you'll get interactive debugging right on your development
machine,
right?
It'll be just as if it was installed on the local machine.
Awesome. That will be great.
The nice thing...
Sorry.
Whoops. Let's see. Am I switching? Yep. So now I'm going to go into creating a provider-hosted high-trust app. And so what I'm going to do for this demo is I'm going to create a simple contact list app. Call it contact list. Keep the name. Now it's going to be pointing at my local machine. So this is actually all running on my laptop right here in front of you. And I'm going to choose provider hosted. Auto hosted makes use of cloud resources, so that's why that's not available. You really have to use provider hosted for this. And you'll notice that the next button lit up on the wizard. when I switch to the next page, this is what allows me to differentiate between an ACS app and one that's using HITRUST. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to use a certificate. Now, I've gone through this one-time setup on my machine to go and generate the certificate and establish that trust relationship with SharePoint. So I just can use this cert. I have my password for my certificate, and then the issuer ID. For development purposes, you can reuse the same issuer ID for multiple apps, but when you deploy them, you really want to have a different issuer ID so that you can revoke your apps one by one. So I'm going to click Finish, and it's going to generate a provider-hosted app that looks very much like the apps that Mike has been building. There's only two key differences, and I think one of them is a little bit less code, and one of them is a little bit more code. So you'll notice that the code in the default ASPX code behind file is actually only has one method call to token helper, because we don't actually need to worry about the tokens as much. We just need to directly go and get the client context, and the rest of it's handled by the token helper for you. The other part is the web.config. And so in the web.config, you'll see that it has the client ID and the client secret, but we've also injected the three values from the wizard here, which are used for debug purposes. When you're deploying your app, you'll obviously have to go and modify those, and right now that's an experience is that you'll have to do by hand after our publishing. Hopefully we'll be able to make that experience better in the future.
Yep.
So now what I'm going to do is rather than having you watch me write a whole bunch of code, I'm just going to switch to a different version of this app where I can go and add the remote event receiver. So with this contact list app, is it allows me to enter in some contact information, and then it's going to do some interesting background processing on the back end. And something that you wouldn't want to necessarily put in your web browser. And so that is the scenario we're heading for. We have this list in here for my contacts. The other interesting thing that we've done here is we've included the Chrome control, which is using this chromeloader.js file. And what the Chrome control does is it makes your SharePoint app that's hosted off of SharePoint actually look like it's got the SharePoint look and feel.
Provides you a little Chrome along the top that does give you a similar look to the built-in SharePoint apps or pages.
Right. So now what I'm going to do is actually going to go implement that processing in the background. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go add a new remote event receiver, call it my contact list. And then the wizard comes up, and it allows you to choose what you want the event receiver to be associated with. Do I want it with lists, list items, or web events? Well, I want it to process whenever a list item is added, and so I choose that one. Our wizard is smart enough to know what the lists are in your project and put those as the first in the list, and so I'll have that one there. And then with remote event receivers, you have either synchronous kinds that are called as the item are being added, so that would be the first one an item is being added, or asynchronous ones that happen after the fact. So seeing as this is probably going to be some really heavy background processing, I'm going to have it happen after the fact. I click Finish, and it generates the two artifacts into SharePoint. It has the remote event receiver in the app project, and then it has the SOAP call over in the web project. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to write some code by dragging and dropping again to process the one-way event. And what you'll see, let's see if I can format. What you'll see is that basically what it does is it goes and gets the first name and last name, and the complex processing that we're doing today is just concatenating them to make the full name. But you can imagine doing some, you know, HR background checks, for example. Or,
whoa, I passed that, dude.
Or some other fun things. So that was all I needed to do to hook up a remote event receiver. And so now I'm going to go and deploy this to SharePoint. And HITRUST applications are still deployed pretty much in the same way as provider-hosted apps are. The only difference is that the client ID and client secret are still being replaced, but they aren't really necessary in this situation. So I'm going to go and trust my app.
Resolution's pretty big.
Let's see if I can give myself a little bit.
There we go. Perfect.
Trust my app, and then I can go and put in my name, so try that out. Oops.
Sea? Like South Seas or what? That's where we're at. There's a room.
And now it's going to be doing the background processing on the back end. And so because it's an asynchronous event, it can take a few seconds for it to go and fire. And you know, I can actually check to see if it's updated. Oh,
there we go.
Hit my breakpoint.
Woo!
And you can actually see the code is executing. It's going and getting the first name, going and getting the last name, and going and getting the full name. And so then when I go back to my demo, I can see that the names have been concatenated. Now, the thing is, you'll see that I got a bug where my names are inverted. And so I need to go back to my code and find that out. We don't have a lot of time, so I'm not going to go and redeploy the app. What I'm going to go and do is I'm going to use IntelliTrace, and I'm going to actually go and filter my app to just the ASP.NET events and the debugger events. And I actually can go back, see where the page request happened. So here's the service. Go through the debugger breakpoints and see what was happening in my app. Right, so IntelliTrace allows you to just go back to record what happened as I was debugging, and then I can actually see right here
check to see if his foot is on the line or not.
Where it actually had the full name was Sean Labrie, so I can go and fix that. So that shows IntelliTrace working with the new app model. We actually have improvements to IntelliTrace for SharePoint 2010 coming out as part of a Visual Studio update in the near future. There's a CTP available that as well. And so with that, I'm going to switch back.
That was awesome. You have to teach me how to do that one.
Definitely. So now it's actually we're hitting our summary slide, so it's time to start wrapping up this session. Mike and I gave you what we hope was a good introduction to the new app model, showed you that you can use our Visual Studio tools to target both Office 365 as well as a local SharePoint server.
I actually think before people leave, two quick things. One, don't forget to fill out evaluations. We'd love to know how you thought we did. And secondly, while you still have a big voice, how about one more time we do a... Okay, so go ahead, Sean.
But I have a
finish.
Few more things before we let everybody
out. Yeah,
but
I saw some people leaving, so yep. I was kind of like... So slackers.
We cover remote development, all the app artifacts, as well as high trust apps. The key thing, though, is I hope you guys all are as excited about developing apps. I know there wasn't a lot of app developers in the audience yet, but I'm hoping that you will all leave as app developers. So go to dev.office.com, get the tools, get a dev site, and get signed up.
Really, really easy.
Other things that I want to draw your attention to, Lightswitch now supports building apps for SharePoint, and this is the easiest and fastest way to go and build a modern business application. John Stallo has a talk about this on Thursday morning. I highly recommend that you go see. Mike and I have talked a lot about authentication, high trust, as well as ACS.
Rob Howard's the man.
Go see Rob Howard. And if you want that deep dive into workflows, and you couldn't make Mauricio's session because you were here, Tim McConnell has a talk on later today on workflows.
Call him Timmy Mac. He really likes that.
Finally, for those of you who stuck around, there's an opportunity for a complimentary gift. If you want to participate in focus groups that will help, we'll actually have people from our team who will talk to you about your experiences building apps and building solutions. And we want to get feedback from you to help improve future versions of our tools. So go drop by the Visual Studio booth, and if you are chosen to participate in the focus group, you will receive a complimentary gift. So yes, now we can definitely please fill out the evaluation. We definitely want the feedback to know how to improve.
Yeah, exactly. Let us know where we can improve and whether you found this valuable. And thanks a lot for coming, and enjoy the rest of your SharePoint conference.